Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, where we return to our regularly standard program. We take some calls, 434-1790. No introduction from me today. We go straight to the calls, and the conversation is over to you. Say good morning and welcome to the first caller. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Man, not as good as you.
But you might be better.
No, man, well, it can't be as good as you. You in Europe. You in Europe living big, living it big.
You call living it big?
You living it big.
Are we living
big,
it small?
You in Europe.
You're what's
Europe.
Up
you're
today?
Barbados, you know? You done with Barbados.
That is entirely untrue.
Listen, I personally got a strong feeling you are not going to come back to Barbados because he's going to hold you down there tight.
I want to assure you, sir, that I will be back sooner. Even sooner than you might think.
Once
the COVID reality settled down, I will go back to regular movements.
A lot of people use this COVID thing as an excuse. Uh-huh. I got a strong feeling you want to live in Europe. But anyhow, we will.
No, not
speak.
At all.
Yeah, Mr. Wickham, I heard you said in the earlier, your earlier sentiments, you were part of the Boy Scouts.
I was, yes. Mm-hmm.
You enjoy your latter days in the Boy Scouts?
If I enjoyed what?
You enjoy your time while you were in the Boy Scouts?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it tremendously. I learned a lot and I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, three quick points, Mr. Wickham. On Sunday, 4 o'clock Barbados time, I parked my vehicle in an area in Black Rock. At the SO station in Black Rock, I decided to try the new buses. Go on a ride. I decided I would use the Connell Town because I want a good ride, a long ride. Mr. Wickham, I waited at that bus stop by the Old Paradise. Opposite, just a little opposite the Old Paradise building. There's a bus stop right there. 5 o'clock come. No Connell Town bus. Don't forget that I was there from 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock come, no Connell Town bus. We leave there about after we see 5 o'clock, no Connell Town bus. We decided, okay, look, let us cut it short. Let me go to Spicetown instead. Get one and go to Spicetown. When we get on to Spicetown, we walk along a little bit. And Mr. Wickham, do you know what time we saw the Connell Town bus coming? 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So there were no 4, there were no 5. Mr. Wickham, I thought this Barbados is a civilized place and we gone far ahead and so on. Mr. Wickham, I chastise you that we ain't gone far, we ain't gone far ahead or nothing. Why in this 20th century should someone in Barbados waiting almost 3 hours for a bus? Why? Explain it to me, Mr. Wickham.
Well, you think that's something that I'm going to try to defend?
All right.
Hold on a second. Let me ask you a question quickly, though, first. Is that normal, or is that just Sunday, the Sunday reduced schedule?
Well, Mr. Wickham, it shouldn't be normal nor abnormal. No one
let's be fair. Let's be fair. I had a lot to say on this program about people standing waiting 3 hours for a bus in St. John and that kind of thing. And I've always found that it was ridiculous. Having said that, however, right, you appreciate that on a Sunday, the transport board would naturally have a reduced service because the presumption is that on Sunday, people are going to church and so on, but the normal activities of work and so on are reduced. So normally, weekend services are reduced, and that's a standard all over the world. That normally weekend services are reduced.
Mr. Wickham,
maybe you might want to think they're not reduced as much as 3 hours, but at least an hour.
Mr. Wickham, I ain't getting the transport. When you used to get a pat on the back, I can give you a pat on the back. I know cases where people in the week waited 3 hours for bus as well. Waited 3 hours for bus. So I'm getting the pattern. Look, we burned 30 new buses there the other day, Mr. Wickham. 30. Mm-hmm. Barbados has 11 parishes. If you put at least 2 of those buses on each parish, 11 twos is 22, you still got additional 8 buses leave?
Yeah, but you got, you got, you got, you got more than 22 routes though, circa there.
Okay.
In St. Philip, you got about 4 routes. In Bridgetown, in St. Michael, you got maybe about 10 routes. It's not as easy as that. But I get the point you're making. And I mean, it's not saying we have to argue over, sir. Yeah. I would be the first to say that a 3-hour wait for a bus, even on a Sunday, is too long. Right? But my greater concern at this stage, though, is are people getting to work and getting to school more efficiently now than before? Because yesterday was the first day of school. So I'm anxious to know whether the wait times that people were experiencing before, whether they have been alleviated.
Okay, we agree to that. All right, my second point.
Where you want to go on this, Joyrider?
Connaughton. I decided to go Connaughton.
Connaughton. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like you. You know, you got a big ride. You could take it.
A big ride. Right. There you go. Yeah, you go. No, I just saying that normally when you go on a Sunday evening ride, yeah, you go to Bachelor.
It was spoiled. And Mr. Wickham, I'm going to say this. It was spoiled. You know, it was really spoiled me and the other two persons, my sister and she friend. You know, we were sad. You know, we went there at the bus stop, parked the vehicle, yellowed the vehicle and got the bus stop there and waited from 4. You know, we were upset. We
But when y'all got a bus, it was one of the new buses or you got an old bus?
We got an old bus. What, something we don't want. We wanted to.
You should have called back a few money, man. Instead of old bus.
I really wanted to see what, you know, to express my views about these new buses, you know, because, you know, some people, I heard some Beijing calling, some of our people calling in and chastising these buses. You know, like, sometimes I get a feeling that we Beijing's doing, like, nice things, you know, so I'm gonna
close off by telling you this very short story. Yeah. About a year ago, my partner was in Barbados and wanted to go on an excursion. We have a friend who normally we do an annual thing where we go on an excursion. I was actually on the radio. Yeah. So I went on Brass Tacks at 10 o'clock. They went in Fairchild Street bus stand and they said they're going to take a bus excursion to Bottom Bay, St. Philip. Yeah. So they went in there, they waited 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the bus had come. 12 o'clock, the bus had come. When I had a break at 12, but then it's telling me I can run across the road and get something to eat. I went across the Fairchild Street bus stand and then they're sitting down on the ground waiting for this bus and a picnic basket. So eventually rain started falling and almost flooded the whole of the Fairchild Street terminal. So at that point, they said, well, look, they can go and have the picnic on the steps in front of Starcom. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. And it was a situation where after waiting for 3 hours, basically, they said, look, this ain't making sense. So yeah. I know the challenge. And I think that we have a reasonable expectation that what you were trying to do, we should soon be able to do where we go and come back. So I would accept that. There was something else you wanted to raise?
Yes, my other point. Now, the traffic lights. Now, you may not be a person like me that's be on the road 3 and 4 o'clock on a regular basis in the morning hours. Mm. I know you've been, you cozy bay sleeping. You don't be on the road at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't laugh.
I'm curious to know what you're doing at that hour out bottling juice.
I ain't telling you, this is me, Mr. Vicker. Now, the traffic lights, I can call the which ones, though. The one by the Fairchild Street bus terminal. The one in Baxter's Road, especially those two, and the ones there by the NIS building. Mr. Wickham, you could imagine a woman at those traffic lights 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and the lights taking so long to turn. What I'm saying to you, Mr. Wickham, and with this day of crime and so on, after 1 o'clock, these lights should be scheduled in a way, they should be set in a way that they change quicker. Because in this day of crime, in this day of age where crime is devastating, they park at the lights. Park there at the lights and some person could come with a gun and put to your window, you know what I mean? Or smash your window. Smash your window with the same gun and you know, rob you. Come on, they got to do something with these lights, man.
That's a reasonable point. I will go one step further and ask why lights don't flash after a certain hour. Because I don't know there's a lot of benefit to having traffic light function at that hour in the morning. So if they flash, that will work. All right, sir. Yes. Accepted. Sir, thanks a lot for calling and for starting us off. And that was a good intervention. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. 434-1790.
Yeah, morning, Peter.
Hey, morning, sir. How are you doing?
Are you good on yourself?
Good. Good and not bad.
No, I want to talk about the double standards at this point of space, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about social distancing in certain areas. When it comes to funerals, when it comes to churches and all of that. But yet you are having, and they say after yesterday and other days, you are having people packed together on PSVs, especially these that are people with foot masks. The social distancing have been reduced. If we continue on this trend, I guarantee you this thing going nowhere. And it's the state that is encouraging these practices. Even the reopening of schools and you are not fully ready. I am totally against that. I've been following this thing on the international news, the state, and England especially. And every school that have reopened, there have been very big spikes in this thing. I do not like the idea of putting money before people's lives. I don't like it. Yes, the economy has to be fixed. But at whose expense is it being fixed? If this thing continues,
Mr. P. No, my question is then, what is the alternative that you're proposing? Okay, schools can't stay closed forever.
That what?
The schools cannot stay closed forever.
As far as the schools is concerned, I went to St. Leonard's in the day when you went school half there. Right? You could have divided the school thing into three different sections. From 8 to 11, from 11 to 1, and from 1 to 3. Yeah, well, you will have lesser children at school at any one time, and those children will be better be able to be managed. Right? My greatest concern as far as this school thing is concerned is those little children at primary school. How do you monitor them? How do you monitor them? Children who are full of energy, who is always passionate, that kind of thing. You know, and my another concern of mine, the senator who was cleared after 3 days of isolation, when it's supposed to be 14, was that a very rare case? So when you set these kind of standards, what do you expect?
Well, Dennis is reminding me that I need to ask you if we have community spread, because if we don't have community spread, there's really no reason why children shouldn't be able to go to school.
We are heading there from what I saw yesterday. We are heading there. That is a possibility that is very, very real. Yeah. You have people sitting on board a little that are packed to capacity. So the foot mask. That is an invitation.
Well, okay. Mr. P, all of that should not be happening, because my understanding is that no one should be on public transportation without a mask. The drivers and conductors are supposed to be wearing masks, and they should not overload the vehicles. There's really no reason now why they need to overload a ZR with all of these PSVs on the road. The challenge, of course, Mr. P, is that it's one thing to say that these are the regulations in place, and it's another thing to actually be able to enforce them. And I'm telling you that I live opposite a school in France, right? A private school. And I watch those kids go in, and there's all of the effort to maintain social distancing in the school and the distance and the stand up in the morning and whatnot, right? And I guarantee you that as soon as they leave, all of that out through the door, because boyfriend and girlfriend hugging up. And I mean, it's difficult to impose these kinds of regulations when you're dealing with school children. With adults, it's easier. But even then, it's challenging, because once a person has a few drinks, all of those rules go through the window. So it's difficult. But you know what, Mr. P? I think that you are presenting it as an easier problem to solve than it really is, because we cannot leave children out of school. And this idea of having a three-stage school day is entirely impractical. It's not something that is practical. What we have done as a country, we have invested heavily in terms of our lockdown to ensure that we isolate the number of cases in Barbados. We did that. Hold on a second, Mr. P. Walk with me on this. We did that process, and we invested a long time back in March to ensure that the lockdown isolated the number of cases and that we don't have community spread, right? To the best of my knowledge, we don't. We are at a situation now where we are importing cases, and the importation of cases is being managed fairly carefully in relation to the self-quarantine initially, in relation to the additional quarantine periods, and in relation to the use of the facilities at Paragon and also St. Lucie. My sense is that if we do that, what we do is we ensure that when someone gets out into the community, the likelihood of that person being infected is low. Mr. P, what more can you do?
Let me draw.
Anyhow, you find a word from you. Final word.
We have an attorney general. I think that an attorney general is about law and putting things in place that protect people. I've heard this man talk about COVID left, right, and center. He led the charge. Now he's talking about a republic. We had a little boy that died. We had a 10-year-old that committed murder. We have had murders after murder after murder. I am yet to hear this man say something.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Mr. P. It was good chatting with you. Down to Brass Stocks. Good morning. 434-1790. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning, Winnie. How you doing?
Well, I you know, as you know, I don't come on the air unless it affects me. Right? And but Mr. P, sometimes you're talking the same thing over and over, and you must learn to address the who is in charge properly, not that man. Yes, PT should pull up these people as well, you know? They should stop disrespecting people. Peter, what I really call about is I get every year I receive a life certificate to send to the UK to prove that I am still alive. You understand? But now the post office will not take it. It was supposed to us in March, and we only get it two days? Yes, maybe Friday. And, you know, go to the post office, and the post office will not take it. Say we got to pay, say, $70 each. Now, if we have to pay them to send the one little letter, so if we have to pay $70 each, why can't we just buy the ordinary stamp and they take it? Something is not right, and I would like from someone from the post office to come and explain to the people who are getting returning national or anyone that is getting money from abroad why we have to pay this ridiculous price. You understand?
Yeah, because many what you're paying for is you're paying for courier service. You're paying for an express envelope,
but if
which is expensive.
Yes, which I then if I have to pay for express, then just as well I send it by FedEx. It would be much cheaper
well,
in a way.
Is the same principle? If you want to do it by FedEx, you can do it.
Yeah, but they should have explained to the you know to the from people who's getting money from abroad that they have to send this life certificate. What they're going to charge us? Not when you go in there, we just need to say buy your stamp to send it. You understand what I'm saying? You got to explain.
But Winnie, I understood. I went into the post office to post a letter some months ago. And when I got to the counter to buy the stamps, the lady told me, she said, I can sell you the stamp if you want, but if you give me the letter is not going anywhere because they don't have any scheduled flights. And until scheduled flights resume, we're not using that facility. And she offered me the express mail facility, which is the same thing that was being offered to you. But I'm trying to understand who is to blame for that, because I don't really see the problem. The problem is that if they don't have airplanes flying regularly, they can't accept on the current basis, they can't accept mail. So they're using the express mail facility.
Yeah, but the same express mail is the same airline. So why can't it go on the same airline?
Yeah, but we need, because it's more expensive. It's like FedEx. FedEx is whatever, or DHL. You're using the same thing.
Yeah, but the post office then, we have to pay the $70 for the one little envelope with the, you know, the doctors, you know, or whoever signed to say, you know, Winnie's still alive. You know, we can, should let us, but don't it go in by the same airplane then?
Yeah, but it will go under a different understanding. It's not going as bulk mail. It's going as specialized mail, which is going at a higher rate. And I mean, honestly, but Winnie, we can't do no better.
We can't do no better. No. We cannot do no better because what is the explanation for us? You should be someone able to explain, like calling on BOB and CBC to say so and so. This is what the charge will be. You understand?
Yeah.
And
you maybe we can ask the post office to come on the program and explain what's going on. But to me, it's fairly clear that the post office right now uses relatively cheap facilities to send mail overseas. Those facilities are suspended. So if you want any mail to go anywhere, you gotta pay. You gotta pay to you. But when you got money, you ain't got money.
Me? I was asking you for some.
But no, you're in a regular poor person, so it's good that you got the money. You kind of got a lot of people that ain't got that money.
Peter,
if you get a pension. If you get a pension from England, you can afford the $70 ticket from me.
You know the exchange rate now? It's gone down to actually nothing.
I know. It's less money.
I am broke. I can't even pay my light bill this month. Would you believe it?
I have relatives in the same situation as you, so I understand it well. And they know that the money has come down. Not only now, for a while it was coming down. But the point is still that it is still a more attractive pension that you can get from the one locally.
But anyway,
and it is indexed.
No, going back to the school.
And I know that you're a lady of means. You're in the lady that, you know.
Peter, listen, I can't even drink the champagne now. No, I can't even buy a one-eye man and which I like with Red Bull.
You can't even buy a one-eye man?
And a red eye bull, Red Bull. I can't even buy that. Can you believe it? Anyway, listen. What I'm saying is the school system, my adopted grandchildren over here, gone to school back, and my God, one is 5 and one is 7, and they love it, and they love the. They come home and they said what the teacher told them and the lady outside, and they enjoy it. They don't wear the mask inside the school, but when they go outside, they wear it. And my God, she couldn't wait to wake up this morning to go back to school. Children need to get out to go to school, and they need extra people outside to assist the little ones, but. As I say, in Jamaica, we have 2 schools, right? And now the government look like they're going to give it to 3 schools. Say the bigger children only get 3 hours and, you know, the little ones get so many hours. But, you know, as I say, the children cannot keep staying at home. The teachers are
getting paid. They got to go to school.
Children need to go out. And the children, and they all they got to do is to make sure they wear their masks and the distance. Mm. I cannot keep the kids at home. They're bored. Every minute they're opening the fridge, they're doing this, they're doing that. And they, you know, my grandkids in London, they're all gone back to school. Every one of them, the last one is what? The last one is what? I think it's 11. And they couldn't wait. They cried every day they wanted to go to school. You know, and the children need to go to school to interact with their friends.
You know, of course, yeah.
And playing games. It's not their children. It's nothing not nice. You know, just take it one day at a time, and we got to just look up to Lord and say, help our young kids out there. And the people not wearing any with masks, they should get off the bus. Okay? Thank you.
I agree with you on that entirely. They have no right being on a bus if they don't want to wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, stop.
No. They simple. Should come up and the conductor and the driver should this. It's wrong. And anyone doing that should be get caught and fined heavily. Okay?
Thank you. All right, Winnie. Thanks a lot for calling. Good chatting with you as always. And I wish you all the best in terms of resolving that issue with life certificate. I for one, can say that you're well and truly alive. So... if they ask me, I could speak on your behalf. Stone to Brass Tacks, good morning. Good morning and welcome. We're on the air, 434-1790. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yes, morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm not bad.
You're good?
Yes, for now.
All right. What you have for me today?
Well, I'm calling. I'm a dialysis patient.
I see.
And I arrived at the hospital this morning at about 7 o'clock and was told that the water system was giving trouble. I have not had dialysis since Saturday. So I was told that the 3-day-a-week people cannot receive dialysis until Thursday coming, because the water wasn't sufficient for those people, that only the 2 day a week people will be able to get dialysis. Now that is unfair, because there were only seven patients there. There are 22 machines, and out of the 22 machines, we were only going to occupy 7 machines. And one of the technicians told us that the system was back and running, but the nurse is saying that the machine isn't work, that the water isn't working, the water system isn't working, and that the nephrologist was going to come down and speak to us, but later on came and said that she isn't coming. So he's sending home the 7 of us, and we'll have to come back on Thursday. No, that is unfair. I have not had dialysis since Saturday, and I have to wait until Thursday. Now, what is going to happen if I take in sick now between now and Thursday? I need dialysis.
Sir, I'm not sure what to tell you, because you're being managed medically by a doctor.
The same nephrologist that he said could not, that was making rounds and could not come and speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
The nephrologist is to come and speak to us, not the nurse.
And he is familiar with your case and so on, and he knows the case?
He can say it because he have already told me.
Well, you can't say it on the program, for sure.
But I haven't called his name.
I know, but the problem is that there are not a whole lot of them at the QEA, so I don't believe it would be too difficult to narrow down who is who. But to me, the way to go about it is not to walk about and accuse people of telling lies. That's not the way to go about it. I think the better way to go about it is to do exactly what you've done. You've called the program and you've raised concern about the length of time you have to wait for dialysis. The challenges with the dialysis facilities are well known in Barbados. Unfortunately, there are more patients needing dialysis than there are facilities available to give. My assumption is that the fact that they have told you that they will defer your dialysis for a few days would mean that the person who is responsible medically believes that you can wait that long for it, because there are persons who are in more urgent need.
Right. That's my
non-medical view of it. And I'm saying that the only thing that someone could tell you no is that the water situation will be rectified. There will be sufficient water that would allow for...
The water situation has been rectified. The technician
what is the problem based on your reading of things? Somebody you think is willfully denying you dialysis? You think that it's being done willfully?
The seven of us.
Why?
Nephrologists see the situation. Because first, to tell me that I can survive until Thursday, he would have had to look at my notes. See how much weight I have on now, okay? And tell me if my blood reading, shows that I can survive until Thursday without dialysis.
Have you read your blood reading, and have you determined that you can't survive until Thursday?
I have not seen my blood reading.
Right. So you are in no better position to assess the urgency of your care than he is?
No.
Right. Okay. Sir, I think that you do have a medical problem, and I suspect that brass tacks is not the place for you, especially as what you're essentially doing is that you are broadcasting your business to John Public in a way that you believe will embarrass the persons that are responsible for providing you life-saving care, not only now, but for the rest of your natural life, because dialysis is not something that you will go off of unless you get a kidney transplant. So my suggestion to you is that the discussion is a confidential one that should perhaps be had with your caregiver, and I would encourage you to pursue that avenue as quickly as possible. But I really don't think that we need to talk about this matter any further. All right, sir? I want to thank you for calling, and I wish you all the best. I hope that things can work out. Good afternoon and welcome. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Oh, you said, how am I this morning? I'm good this morning. Yeah. I'm good. I'm great, even.
All right.
Yeah, I'm great. And yourself?
I am fine for the time being. Well, I would have listened and I would have heard Mr. P. I would have heard everybody, those people who call about the public service vehicles and so, and the children going to school and things like this. And as you quite rightfully said, I agree with you. We can't keep the country locked down for the period, for the time, because we have to look to survive and we have to try to keep the country afloat so that people will be able to work and so on for themselves. But where we do have a serious problem is that there are persons who are supposed to look after these protocols and see that they are adhered to and carried out, and they are not doing it, they are failing. And I don't have an apology to make about this. I am saying that those conductors and drivers on those public service vehicles should be monitored. They should go people on the road checking them, because they have some of them who are driving on the vans, both as drivers and conductors, they are not wearing masks. So when somebody gets in the van and they ain't wearing a mask, them ain't interested, call them and go on in. What they do not understand, that we are free, you know, we don't have community spread and so on. But because of those very behaviors and those people who do not care about themselves or anybody else, this is where now we will start to get the community spread. And I am saying that we have people who are supposed to be out there, like in those visitor stands and things like that, working, should make sure that when people getting on the vehicles that they have on the mask, the drivers should be also in the mask. People that are there working in those areas should be there to do those things and make sure that they are done. And sometimes on the way going somewhere, somebody should be able to step on and stop them too. And if they don't have on a mask, put the bus off the road, report them, and make them pay a fine, because we are in a serious time. So therefore, unless we have the people who are to carry out the mandate, making sure that the things are being done that should be done and adhere to doing it, well, if they let the loopholes, we opening ourselves to danger. So therefore, I would like to say somewhere along the line, I know what I will do if I had them situations to deal with. But I am
what would you do? What would you do?
Now, what I will do, this me. I ain't going to tell you nothing that I can't have the solution to. If I had to deal with them, I will have people on the road. And when they get from point A to point B, they will bother. And when I find that you ain't going your mask and you driving, I will take out the people, you give them back the bus fare, and put your vehicle off the road and report it to.
Okay.
You have to come down heavy-handed in this time. So
what about corporal punishment? What about corporal punishment? You think that might work?
I believe it can. But
drag them out, flog them. Drag them out, flog them, and put them back in.
But
were you laughing?
I am saying that it needs to be done because I know why I'm saying it.
No, because finding someone for not wearing a mask isn't going to work. So maybe we need summary judgment like that.
I may see it from that standpoint. But I can also tell you that I can go further than that and imprisoning you too. Because if I find you without
the mask, you can cut the backside. Once you cut two or three backsides, they're gonna start wearing masks. I guarantee you. You're going to go do many more.
If you don't wear your mask, or your conductor, if you are the owner, or you won't be working for you, and I find people do working and ain't wearing the mask and adhering to the protocols, you know what happened? I take him ready for me to go.
But so by asking you, when you even going to that level, when you see the conductor not wearing a mask, and you pull him off the van, and you cut his tail in front of everybody in the van and see him getting corporal punishment, I guarantee you that he ain't gonna take off that mask again. He ain't want that happen.
No,
you can imagine walking about with a sore pooch the rest of the day, so from corporal punishment, all you think now you will wear the mask.
When I was going to school, I would get for corporal punishment today, so I can't
there you go.
Blind in our room. Right? So I tell you that if I had to say I will take a fine once or twice for not wearing the mask, and if I find it a third time and you ain't wearing it, whether it's my B vehicle or X vehicle or what belongs to the permit going, I will have to start to come down heavy-handed in those
days.
Because that is where we would be encouraging the community spread.
So I appreciate what you're saying very much. And I don't know. This thing to me is so straightforward. Huh? I don't have a lot of time for people who don't wear masks because I just think it's such a simple thing to do. And I can't imagine why it is something that would not be adhered to. And I think maybe we need some creative punishment. Sorry. All right, sir. Thanks for calling and for raising that concern that you've raised. 434-1790. Remember, you can email me on peter.w.wakem@gmail.com. Unfortunately, I have no access to the chat just yet today because I was having some technical challenges earlier. We're going to try and see if we can get that going. But in the meantime, you can feel free to call me on 434-1790 or alternatively email me directly at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, good sir. Morning, hey, Peter. Morning, sir. How you going?
You met me
one of my favorite people.
Yeah, you met me last episode.
What, with the flogging?
You tell the man to flog the man. Suppose you flog the man now. You said flog.
Suppose you flog what?
Yeah, you said flog him back, say. Put capital punishment, flog him back, say.
And corporal punishment.
Yeah, and suppose that man got a lover, and you flog him on backside and them it up, and then the lover get a knife when he look at the backside. What can happen?
I really started to think about that, sir. I really started to think about that, sir.
Okay, good. All right.
No, because my thing is that you don't. This should be a relatively easy problem to fix.
They had too much of people talking about that already, man. I want to talk, but when they get you on this radio to talk politics, man, I want to talk.
Man, that's good. I'm glad to start talking some politics.
Talk about who got on mask? From everybody that noticed to got on mask, got on mask. Let me go straight to St. George. That's what I want you on. You coming back in soon to take out your poll in St. George, North?
But, sir, I can take out the poll. I can take out the poll in Barbados from where I am. I would like to do one. Sir, I have done polls. Since I've been here, I've done polls in about four countries.
I can do mine, see? Because, naturally speaking, St. George is a parish, especially St. George North, that my ancestors, my grandmother, grandfather, everybody come out of the same area as Glen Clark. Newbury, okay. Gordon Ridge. All of those areas is where my grandparents and my family still reside. And
I don't know if you know this, but my ancestry is a St. George ancestry too, huh?
Okay.
My ancestors came from a plantation, I believe, is near Ellerton. I have ancestry in St. George, yeah. I may go back up there and stake my claim one of these days.
Yeah, you come from the privileged class. Now, I have a great aunt who lives in St. Helens. She's doing 101 now. On to 101. I know she make it yet. So my whole ancestors came from that. Now, I also participated in actually every campaign that Glen Clark ran in St. George has a hometown.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I can give you a rundown at St. George. But before I give you the rundown, they just had a branch meeting, a meeting held at St. George to declare that Glen would be resigning. Now, it was, they had a as far as I see on TV, they had a lot of people up there, or people was there. Now, that put me in the mind of, if you had a funeral at Carl Ridge and you were popular, everybody turn up for the funeral, but when the ceremony is over, they leave one body and that's the body. Everybody gone back to where they came. And St. George North, that meeting put me in mind of that. That when all the supporters left, it is St. George North who got to deal with the issue, right? Now, let me go straight into the point. I want to give you the independence of St. George North. You know that Alba was beaten in 1956 by a white...
And where?
A white... In 1956. Then Alba ran in St. George from 51 to 56. Mm. And he was beaten in 56 by a white man by the name of Herbert Dowden. Dowden was an owner of the Lower State factory, sugar factory, and he also used to sell Detco motors, which was responsible for Austin trucks and such. Like. That is where capitalists came into being. Now, Sir Herbert Dowden, or Herbert Dowden, however you call him, was able to convince the laboring class, because in those days, most of the people in St. George had plots of land. He also helped them to buy land in order to get them grow sugar cane to come to his factory. You follow where I'm coming from?
I'm following you, sir.
He had a firm grip on St. George at that time. But in 1961, came along, Air Hopping and Russell Law, but dealing with the North. Air Hopping ran against a relative of mine, Nigel Barr, and he won. Air Hopping had what you would call a grip on St. George North, because he was a shopkeeper, and he was the credit manager of Cotton Factory. So whenever the workers wanted material from Cotton Factory, they would butt on Air Hopping, who would give them, I would say, a credit. So he had a grip on those people. After the Air Hopping era, and Jack Orley came along, that is why it showed that St. George is independent in certain political stance. You had Jack Orley, and at that time, the late Earl Walton brought Richie Haynes, Dr. Haynes, who we call an academic and was brilliant, but he had lost his social contact in Newbury, where he came from. And as a result, Jack Odell was able to take the seat as a BSV supporter. Now, Glenn came in, who was a very strong supporter of Jack Odell. And he also fell in line at the time in 1994. He lost in 91, but 94 was the turning point of when he had, you know, a confidence motion. And the DSV went into what you would call disarray. And Glenn capitalized on that. Fortunate for Glenn, things went for him because he was placed in a position where he could lend assistance to a few people or many people in St. George. But let me tell you about the turning point. Now, I spoke on his last platform in 2018.
But sir, I don't want to rush you, but the problem is that we don't have a lot of time. It's almost 12 o'clock, and Dennis is going to take me out shortly. Please get to the point and tell me what exactly is going to happen.
The point that I'm saying, I have not heard who is the candidate that will be coming in St. George North so far for the Barbados Labour Party. But I am saying that St. George North has grown so much accustomed that they like to support their own. Now, I am hearing of a name, strange enough, although the DSP wasn't ready, I'm hearing of a popular name that is being bandied about in St. George North on behalf of the Democratic Labour Party. Have you heard anything?
And this is who?
They ain't hearing nothing from the BSP, so it's not about the DSP.
It's not Jepta?
No. Jepson is not from St. George. But if you want me to say what I am hearing, it left of the Democratic Labour Party. Don't mind that you got moderators, don't like to hear things off the ground.
I want to hear what's going on on the ground.
Yeah, you know, it's pollsters.
Right.
I heard of a candidate that have a very strong reputation and a reputable candidate, and no other person than Dr. Esther Bicycle.
You sending Dr. Bicycle to St. George North?
But that's where she from.
But you can't just drop down left. You gotta stay on the line. We have to go to the regional roundup, but I'm anxious to have this conversation with you because you don't drop a shocker on me and you can't just drop it and walk away. So you stick around. We're going to go to the regional roundup. We'll be back in a few minutes.